This baseball season, catch every pitch at Long Neck Sports Grill. Each location has 4K TVs, so you never miss a game. The menu is so extensive, you can get something different every time you visit. I love the wings. And no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. Locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. And when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a warm spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. Long Neck Sports Grill, this baseball season, stay late, come often.
ESPN 1530 Cincinnati. Available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. ESPN 1530, an iHeartRadio station.
20 minutes after 4 o'clock, this is ESPN 1530. I'm Mo Egger. We'll chat with Tony Pike, Bengals training camp update in just about 25 minutes, plus Brenneman and Jones on baseball. I said maybe 2 weeks before camp started that I wanted to seek out folks whose opinions on the Bengals in 2022 didn't necessarily mesh with the consensus, or certainly the consensus here. And, well, I found somebody, and somebody whose work I enjoy, and somebody who has been on this show before. We are huge fans, obviously, of Pro Football Focus. Sam Munson did a series of bold predictions for AFC North teams. He does not have the Bengals making the postseason. Sam is on Twitter. At PFF underscore Sam. And I always appreciate you coming on with us. I know you get asked to do a lot of these, so thanks for the time. How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm doing really, really well. So you've got the Bengals on the outside looking in of the postseason. And it goes without saying, and you mentioned this, the AFC should be really, really good. And it's really, really deep. And yes, there's the possibility that a team with a good record misses the postseason and is on the outside looking in. But beyond that, if the Bengals fail to make the postseason and they fall short of what they won last year, which was 10 wins, what went wrong for this team?
Yeah, and the other thing is that it's a bold predictions article as opposed to necessarily what you think will be the most likely thing to happen.
Sure.
So, yeah, I just think that there are a number of different things when you look at Cincinnati last year that say, they might not break the same way this year. And if they don't, and the rest of the AFC got as strong as it looks like it did this offseason, there are going to be teams that are good that might be in trouble, and Cincinnati could be one of them. If you look at a few things, the Bengals were very lucky last year in terms of injuries relative to a lot of teams in the NFL. You know, they certainly benefited from injury luck, and that's always a great wild card in any NFL season for every single team. The best teams at the end of the year are often the ones that just stayed healthiest. They had a very easy schedule last year as well in terms of defenses that they faced. So they, when you look at how that offense went, Joe Burrow played fantastically. Jamar Chase was obviously incredible, but they sort of relied disproportionately on the really big plays, the explosive plays, the ones that can offset a lot of sort of average offensive efficiency. And, you know, there's a bunch of metrics that show that the Bengals offense last year, as good as it was, you know, wasn't amazing, but they relied a lot on the very sort of volatile big plays that may or may not come back next year. So, like I said, I don't know if it's necessarily the most likely thing to happen to their season, but I think there's definitely a range of outcomes where the Bengals are not as good as they're expected to be.
What is the metric that stands out most when you look at the ones that suggest, you know what, maybe this offense last year wasn't as good as it might appear on the surface?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really is a case of how much they relied on those big explosive plays. When you actually look at the kind of the ways that we quantify offensive production and offensive success, you know, generally, they weren't necessarily amongst the best offenses in the NFL last year. So EPA per play is a very kind of in vogue statistic, particularly amongst the analytics guys, expected points added per play. It's kind of like it's a better version of passer rating, you know, it adjusts for situations and those kinds of things. And so it tells you the efficiency of an offense as a whole. Kansas City was the number one offense in the NFL last year. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, those are the next couple. Cincinnati was all the way down in 14th. So this team wasn't necessarily as dominant on offense as it showed sometimes, or as it showed that it could be when everything is clicking well.
All right, so to offset the reliance on the big play from last year, I think one would argue you have an ascending quarterback, first normal offseason, I guess the appendectomy notwithstanding, another year of chemistry growth with the wide receivers, same play caller from last year, and obviously, and you write about this, an improved offensive line, which, by the way, should lead to an improved running game, and you're bullish on Joe Mixon's possibility for leading the league in rushing yardage. And so how much of all of that can offset? Look, last year, maybe a little bit too reliant on the big plays. This year, however, based on what we just talked about, not so much.
Yeah, I think it absolutely can. And I give the Bengals a ton of credit for sort of recognizing where the problems were. You know, it would have been easy for this team to look at what happened last year and said, we got to the Super Bowl, we're a couple of plays away from winning it all. We don't need to do a whole lot, maybe just add one piece here or there, and that's the difference between winning and losing the Super Bowl. But they didn't. They kind of recognized that they overachieved and thought to themselves, look, if we go into next season with the same offensive line we had this year, it's not going to go the same way. We're going to be in trouble. And so they went out there and aggressively added, you know, 3/5 of an offensive line, completely overhauled that group in the course of free agency and then picking up Lyle Collins once he got cut from Dallas. So I think that has the potential to be huge. I don't think they'll have a great offensive line, but they've turned what was probably 4/5 bad into 4/5 pretty good. And that's a huge sea change in what that offensive line can do. It's good for Joe Burrow. It's good for Ja'Marr Chase. It's very good for Joe Mixon. And yeah, I agree. I think that the improvements in that offensive line could absolutely offset a lot of potential regression back to the mean from a bunch of these sort of areas that could easily take a step backwards.
Focus in on that offensive line for me, which you obviously just alluded to, from the PFF standpoint, looking at that line and the upgrades through the Pro Football Focus lens. We all expect it to be better, can't be any worse. The question that I've wrestled with is, okay, they'll have an improved offensive line, but will they actually have a good offensive line? What do PFF metrics suggest the answer is going to be?
Probably won't be a good offensive line, but I think it will be an average to above average offensive line. And honestly, that's all you're shooting for when you have the kind of talent that the Bengals have everywhere else on that offense. You know, you don't need a great offensive line. You don't even need a good offensive line. You just need an offensive line that isn't a problem area. And that's the issue last year, is that there were multiple spots in that offensive line that were real problem spots consistently. And maybe you can scheme around one of them. You know, this season they might have one problem spot out of 5, and you can get away with that. You can work with that schematically in terms of help, chip blocks, alignment, what you're going to do with the play calling, all those kinds of things. You can't do it when it's 4 guys. I think this offensive line probably ends up in the middle of the pack somewhere, maybe the better side of, you know, slap bang in the middle of the league. But honestly, that's the target. You given the money that they're spending on this offensive line, if it was better than that, it would be, you know, quite an achievement. So that's the aim, is to get an above average offensive line and then be able to dedicate the resources to the expensive contracts that are going to be coming up, like Joe Burrow, like Ja'Marr Chase, like T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, the ones that they need to really dedicate some resources to.
You've got in your bold predictions Baltimore winning the AFC North. And look, for the injury luck the Bengals enjoyed last year, Baltimore was the exact opposite from before the season even began. And so, obvious, look, they're the prime contender, and you mentioned this. If you're going to wager on anybody to go from worst to first in the NFL, Baltimore's the team. When you look at the team side by side, roster versus roster, what do you like more about Baltimore than Cincinnati's?
I don't think there's a ton in it, to be honest. And I think a big part of it is exactly what you just talked about, the idea that they can bounce back and go from worst to first. And I think Baltimore have a really good proven coaching setup there. John Harbaugh, I think, is one of the better coaches in the NFL. I think they do a lot of smart things on game day in terms of following analytics and, you know, making correct decisions on 4th downs or 2-point attempts and stealing small win percentages within games with all those things consistently. I think the Ravens are one of the best teams in the NFL at doing that. And I liked the draft that they had in particular. I thought they added a lot of very good players that could make an immediate impact. Tyler Linderbaum at center, I think, could be a really intriguing addition given the type of player he is and the offense that they have there. So I don't think that they're necessarily night and day better than Cincinnati. I think it's very close, the entire division. But just given how badly they got wrecked by injuries last season, and yet they were still pretty close to being in contention, I think they're a natural candidate to just bounce back and be a much better team.
Sam Munson, Pro Football Focus on Twitter, at PFF underscore Sam. He has made bold predictions for the AFC North. I've tweeted out a link at Mo Egger. Sam, I always appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Take it easy.
There you go. Sam Munson, Pro Football Focus. Hope he's wrong. Think he is. Interesting points nonetheless. It's 4:30 on ESPN 1530. The Skyline Chili Crosstown Showdown is inching closer. We'll preview one of the games and the high school football season next.
This baseball season, catch every pitch at Long Neck Sports Grill. Each location has 4K TVs, so you never miss a game. The menu is so extensive, you can get something different every time you visit. I love the wings, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. Locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a warm spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. Longneck Sports Grill, this baseball season, stay late, come often.